Hi, this is Siobhan Murphy, Careers Advisor here in DCU Career Service, and welcome to this episode of the Careers Podcast. Today we are going to discuss a number of issues. The first one of it, which is kind of becoming more of a contentious issue we're seeing with students, is around the length of the CV. Should it be one page? Should it be two pages? So we're going to have a bit of a chat about that. The next thing we're going to look at is how can you really, benefit from having a LinkedIn profile and some tips around that. And we're also going to look at maybe some of the more discipline-related content for your C. Some of the nuances depending on the discipline that you are studying here in DCU and how you can maybe, make your CV pop a little bit more. So joining me today is Elaine Daly, Careers Advisor here, and also Vanita Murphy, who are working particular pace loads in DCU. So we'll kind of have more of a roundtable discussion around the topics today. So we're just going to start off with yourself, Elaine. I opened up there around the debate of the one page or two page CV.
Yeah.
Maybe tell us this, maybe a circumstances when you might actually consider a one page CV.
I think maybe where a student is early on in their degree, or maybe where they don't have a lot of experience, it's perfectly fine to have one good page CV as opposed to trying to stretch out the content that you have to two pages. Maybe if you haven't done a lot of work experience, or you don't feel like you have enough detail to stretch it out, one page of a CV is absolutely fine. And one page can be enough to detail your education and maybe any voluntary work or work experience that you've done previously.
Might be useful maybe for a part-time job, you know, so a part-time
Absolutely.
Job, they don't need a huge amount of detail about you, just sufficient amount of detail.
Exactly, and you might just want to include relevant information for the part-time job that you're going for. So you might not need to go into an awful lot of detail in other areas, or you might not need to go into too much detail in relation to the contents of your degree or the modules that you're studying. You might want to highlight transferable skills that you have specifically for what you're applying for.
And Vanita, so if we're saying that Elaine has identified some of the reasons, you know, or the usefulness of a one-page CV.
Yeah.
But at what stage, you know, would it be more appropriate to be using a two-page CV?
So as you go through your time in university, obviously you're going to build up your experiences through clubs, societies, and through your work experience. You may have an intro placement, so you'll have that to put on your CV. So generally, I would say as you go towards the end of your degree, you definitely want to be hitting towards a two-page CV. In Ireland, the norm is a two-page CV when you're applying for graduate jobs. So why would you not go for a two-page CV? You could be missing key details compared to someone else who's applying for the same job as you if you're only using the one-page CV. So I would say towards your final year, try and definitely get it up to the two pages. If you're on a four-year degree, maybe around that third year. If you're on a three-year degree, maybe around the end of your second year, trying to build that up over the summer. Think about things that you could do whilst you're here in university to try and build up your experiences. As Elaine said, you're going to have very little in first year, but you've got the chance to build that up as you go through your time here.
Brilliant. Okay, so hopefully that might settle people's minds, because we're kind of seeing a growing assumption that they have to compress all this information into one page and that they're nearly demonstrating the skill by doing that. Whereas in actual fact, you know, they're not even hardly writing down anything of worth on the page. And one thing we have to remember is, from a recruiter's perspective, is we're trying to find the evidence in order to find a number of suitable candidates to bring forward to the next stage. So if you don't explain your talents and your abilities, they can't really make an informed decision.
Absolutely, and recruiters are more than happy to see a two-page CV. What they don't want to see is a three or a four-page CV. So if you're at the stage where you're coming to the end of your degree and you want to kind of highlight relevant aspects of it, relevant aspects of your experience, and you have kind of, you know, engaged in different activities during your time in university, chances are you will have a strong two-page CV. That's absolutely fine to be sending out. Because like that, you need to sell yourself and kind of package what you have to offer as well.
And we're not getting any pushback from employers saying, please tell your students to only write one page CV. We're not getting any pushback. They're still demanding a two page CV.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what it takes to detail everything appropriately, and like that shows the employers what they're looking to see.
Yeah. And maybe just to mention, obviously, if you're applying in Ireland, it's a two-page CV, UK the same, but if you're applying internationally, you need to just check out what are the requirements for that country. And we have a really good resource called Going Global, which you can access through the DCU Career Service website. And you can go onto that resource and find out what is the norm for your CV in that country. And you can actually view some templates for graduate CVs as well. So that's just a top tip if you are applying outside Ireland, UK.
Yeah. So, for example, one of the things that is not done here in Ireland is having a photograph on your CV.
Exactly, yeah. Okay.
But in other countries, that is the norm.
Yeah.
Okay. Because of the prevalence of LinkedIn in Ireland, we most certainly don't need to have photographs. Photographs are there on your LinkedIn profile anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no point talking about getting that picture printed out in black and white of it, you know.
Yeah.
So things like that. So that's really useful for Anita about the Going Global website. Because on that Going Global website, you get a lot of extra tips around the job search and everything like that. And then the kind of information that employers in that area would be potentially looking for on the CV.
Yeah, it's a really good resource if you're thinking about applying internationally. Brilliant. So definitely check it out.
Brilliant. Now, just getting back to a bit more nuanced information around discipline specific. So, Elaine, you primarily look after the Institute of Education and a number of humanities courses.
Yeah.
So maybe you could maybe guide us a bit around the field of education and, you know, what's important on an education discipline CV.
Yeah, well, I suppose even within education, it would probably vary a little bit, because it would vary from maybe a primary teaching CV to a secondary school teaching. And then if you're looking at the likes of early childhood education, or the likes of the education and training degree, there would be slight differences between kind of what you might want to make stand out. So, for example, with primary teaching, it would be really important for those students or graduates to include their major and minor specialism, maybe the title or the topic of their action research project. Something as well that schools would look for would be the teaching practice grade, so the school placement grade that you achieved in each of your placements. But then you don't have to go into great detail in terms of what you did on those placements. Whereas if we were to look at secondary school teaching, then one of the most important things is to really highlight early on in your degree what subjects you're going to be qualified to teach. And also then you might go into a little bit more detail in terms of the different, I suppose, maybe achievements or responsibilities that you had while you were on your school placement, because they may not go into an awful lot of detail about that, or they may not probe you too much on your school placements at interview necessarily. They might be talking more so about, you know, kind of subject specific questions. So it's really important to kind of detail what you gained from your school placements in your secondary schools. And I suppose the skills that you developed and the responsibilities that you had. And then it would vary with, we'd say, early childhood education and maybe education and training. What you would want to do there is really tailor your CV for the different types of roles that you're applying to, or different organisations or settings that you might be looking to go into. So in that case, then it might be more important to highlight specific modules that you've covered in your degree. And that's where you might be kind of tailoring your CV and selecting certain modules to highlight over others, depending on the job that you're actually applying for.
Can I just ask you around, say, primary teaching, how do you kind of put in things around, say, some of the extracurricular activities that you've been involved with in school or anything like that, or is that appropriate?
Yeah, absolutely, because I suppose schools are always looking for what else do you have to offer. So, okay, you're qualified to teach these subjects, but if you were working in our school, what extracurricular activities might you be involved in, or how can you show that you're passionate about the subjects that you're able to teach, or that you're qualified to teach? So in that way, any additional responsibilities or duties that you've taken on in the school, different activities that you got involved in outside of the classroom, would definitely be key selling points. And that could be something that would differentiate you from other applicants who maybe haven't gotten as involved, or maybe don't highlight it as well on their CV.
So this whole concept of contributing to the wider life of the school seems to be particularly important in education.
Absolutely, a key selling point. So they'll say, okay, you have your teaching qualification, done your placements, but how have you made the most of those opportunities that you've had? How have you made the most of your time in DCU? What else have you been involved in? And that's, you know, your CV is the best place to get that across and to highlight that information.
And Benita, yourself, you do look after engineering and IT.
Yes.
So, you know, what are the sort of things that, you know, any of us are looking at, or recruiter is looking at a engineering or an IT CV, what are the sort of things they should be looking at?
Yeah, of course. So if you're specifically a computing student, what we'd advise is maybe consider setting up a GitHub account with details of your projects and putting a link to this at the top of your CV, just underneath your contact details. This can be great, so employers can click on that and find out a little bit more about some of the projects you've undertaken. And then for the overall computing and engineering discipline, definitely include a section on your technical skills. And what we would say is get this in the first page of your CV so employers can see what technical skills you've experiences of. And those that are required for the job, make sure you put those down in that section as well. Just a top point though, ensure you list the technical skills that you have used before, as you may be asked about these in your interview. And if you put a technical skill on there that you have no knowledge of, obviously it's going to go in a bad direction for you if you're asked about it in an interview. So be careful with that. Only put technical skills down that you're confident that you can talk about and that you've used before.
Not even talk about, because sometimes you even get a whiteboard interview.
Exactly. Yes, good point. Yeah, so you need to be prepared. Companies will pick up on these technical skills that you've put down, so you need to be prepared and make sure you have experience of them. And then LinkedIn with that as well, you want to add in a project section. So you could put this in after your technical skills and include details of any key projects you've undertaken, both inside and outside of university. So think about those projects you've done in teams here in university. But as well as that, I know a lot of students do personal projects outside of university, which looks great and employers really, really love to see. So definitely put those down. But the key thing with projects is make sure you give them context. Give the employer an idea of what your role was and what the result was from the project. If you're still working on that, highlight that in your project section. And then again, highlight any key technical skills that you used in the project. And ensure you include details of any projects you're undertaking at the minute. So final year master's students, don't forget to put down your final year project. The amount of times we see students who forget to put that down because they think, don't put it down because I'm still doing it. Definitely put that down so companies can see what projects you're working on at the moment. So those are really the top tips for engineering and computing students. Obviously, if you attend events outside of university, like hackathons or different tech talks, definitely put that down into interest achievement section because companies like to see that. Showing your passion for the industry and that you're doing stuff outside of your degree.
Sometimes there's meetups and stuff.
Exactly, yeah. So again, put that in your interest achievements. And don't just say, I attend meetups. Actually give the employer a little bit of detail about what meetups you've went to recently so they can get an insight into your key interests in this tech area.
Brilliant. So I'm just going to close the gap with some of the other disciplines. But yeah. Feel free to jump in if I'm missing anything there. I suppose Salus, actually, you might be a bit more familiar with Elaine with Salus as well and some of the language-based programs as well. So feel free to jump in on this. I suppose one of the things around the languages is really getting your competency across, but also your digital literacy in this area. It's not just the translation, you know, it's content writing. There's a huge amount of areas in the applied language area that you need to maybe extract out of the degree and I suppose showcase for a potential employer, because you know the study of languages here in DCU comes in many guises. It comes with business and it comes obviously as part of a joint honours programme. It also goes into an applied language space as well, and I'm always kind of nearly stunned by students, you know, forgetting to tell wonderful things and how they're actually using languages in quite an applied setting. It might be even around, you know, writing around the economics, you know, through a foreign language and everything like that. So it can be quite taken aback by the skill level of students, but they're often forgetting to tell that because they're so used to doing it. They're forgetting that people mightn't be aware. From a joint honours perspective and that Erasmus year abroad as well, have you any insights on that, Elaine?
Yeah, I suppose when we're kind of working so closely on something like that, when we're doing something every day, we take it for granted. And that's why I think it's really useful as well to always be maybe updating your CV. And you know, your CV is always going to be a live working document. You should always be adding to it, because over time we do kind of take things for granted and forget what we're doing on a day to day. And I suppose what I would see with the joint honours students across the board, those that would be doing languages or like that, you know, going on a year abroad or whatever it might be, is to highlight maybe the transferable skills that you're getting from other experience, the skills that you're developing from doing a year abroad, or skills that you're developing from part-time jobs or voluntary work, whatever it might be. because with languages or with any joint honours degree, you may be going for roles that are directly related to what you're studying. So like that, you may be going into work as an interpreter or a translator or a teacher with the languages, but you may also be going into a different industry where your languages or your joint honours degree would be useful. So it's important to kind of highlight relevant aspects of your experience. And again, tailoring is really important in that regard. But I suppose getting across, or I suppose being aware of the fact that employers are hiring a skill set and not necessarily just a discipline. So while they could be hiring you for your French language skills, there may be other skills that you need also to do the job, you know, like that if you're going into maybe the insurance industry or the media with your language or something like that. It's important to kind of recognise the other skills that you have that would be useful in those areas as well.
And I suppose one of the most obvious absences on a CV with languages is around intercultural awareness. Yeah. And that's one of the key things that language brings, is intercultural awareness. And it's just even dropping those modules down, it just pops it back up into the recruiter's mind. Okay, it's not just about the ability to, but it's to communicate in a way and that's easily understood by different cultures as well.
Yeah,
and just be able to interpret that.
Yeah, your awareness of different cultures, your experience of different cultures can really add value to your CV and to any application that you make, especially if you're going into an organisation that might have a quite diverse population of employees within it. That can be a really useful selling point as well. And again, something that we take for granted.
And from the law perspective, I know in my knowledge of this area and working with students and working with employers in this area, law is very interesting in that they're very pro, you know, they're very pro academic, high academic achievement. That's what I had a shadow of a doubt of. They often do like to see the individual results for modules on the CV, which would be quite a departure for other disciplines. So certainly at your early stage with law, if you're looking for internships in second year or third year, they often are looking for the individual results of modules. But obviously, as you're getting ready to graduate, your expected degree classification indicates your all-roundedness there. But they're also looking for your extracurricular activities and your engagement in the life and the law. So that could be your commitment to FLAC, the Student Law Society. It could be, you know, working part-time as well. They're also looking for, you know, something a little bit different as well. Not that you need to be doing something different, but more the kind of thing, what else are you actually interested in? Your wider interests in life. Now, that could be something completely different, you know, like dance or a different type of a club or society. That's not an issue at all. But what they're critically looking for in law is your ability to juggle, you know, a very busy, full life. They are looking for evidence of that in a CV due to the nature of working in law. Now, whether that's in the core areas, working in a pure legal field or in an applied legal setting, it's that ability to problem solve and juggle at quite a heavy workload. So that would be one of the things that I'd look at law. From government-related courses, in particular, I suppose I'm bringing to mind international relations students. Now, this is one of the degrees that's absolutely critical to be really building up content in your CV. And that can be done in a number of different ways. So I really encourage students to work at building their content around getting involved in NGOs, volunteering, you know, as soon as you can when you land in college, get involved in a very safe way and then build up your resilience over the course of the 3 years that you're here. Many people express a very strong interest in doing field work when they graduate college. But remember, you need to build up the evidence for your ability to go abroad, work in conflict zones or poverty-stricken areas. So you have a responsibility to be able to find yourself. So you need to actually, I suppose, build up that resilience muscle. So you could start off doing something like working with the local Surveillance to Pole Society on the campus, moving on to the soup runs that they do, maybe migrating into working more directly with the homeless and vulnerable in our own society. So you have an idea of what is expected and what would be needed should you go into humanitarian work. Now, obviously, not everyone is going to go and do humanitarian work with international relations, but look on the governmental side of maybe working in opportunities in county councils or town councils during the summer, looking to see what you can engagement in with your local Citizens Advice Bureau. Is there any voluntary activities there? So you can kind of tailor these experiences to your own interests. But the one thing is very, very important is actually to build up the content on that CV and provide the evidence to yourself and to your future employers about the career direction that you're expressing yourself into. And the other areas we're going to look about is the business programs. Again, it's to highlight the particular nuances of the business program that you're on, whether it's the global business that has the double degree, which is 2 years abroad in another European or North American country, or, you know, spending that year abroad as part of the international business course, or the full year intra-placement that's part of the business studies program. So it's really to make sure that you're not understating what is actually happening here. Now, we all know we don't want anyone overstating their skill level on a CV, but I suppose the challenge is not to understate it first and foremost. The other thing aspect of the business programs is that it's very important to get across maybe some of the nuances of the business program. It might be the next generation module, it might be new enterprise development, it might be the type of projects that you've been involved with, because a lot of this is a wee bit more dynamic than maybe, say, certainly a similar course of 20 or 25 years ago. Like the disciplines in any university do, you know, move on with the times. So to try and communicate things that they were doing as project management, all of the types of modules are very relevant to the day-to-day operation of the business. With regard to marketing, it's very important to get your digital skills out here. You know, you can't hide them. This is what the employer actually needs to know, can you do? So again, it's extremely important there. From the science disciplines, you know, back down to the lab skills, and on the placements that you've done with your college degree, is to be able to explain as fully as possible what exactly you were doing on your placement. What we tend to see is, you know, very little communication about what you did. So you need to kind of go back and mind map out, what was I doing on a day-to-day basis? Was there verification? Was there documentation being kept? Who did that documentation have to be reported to? What was the significance of that documentation? Calibration, the actual processes and lab equipment that you're actually using. So that's a bit of a whistle-stop tour. I don't know whether we've missed out on this one. We have.
Yes, so my School of Communication students, yes. I have some top tips for you guys.
Brilliant.
So just a couple of things. Consider maybe having an online portfolio of your work and include a link to this at the top of your CV. And an example of a really good platform is Behance. You may know more that are out there, but that's just one to get you started, just with an online platform, and put the link to it at the top of your CV. Similar to the computing students, like I said earlier, with their GitHub account, this means employers can obviously click on your link and see a little bit more about the work that you're doing. Specifically for multimedia students, definitely include details of your final year project along with your degree in your education section. If you've worked on maybe a lot of projects, for example, as part of Media Production Society, or personal projects over the years whilst here in DCU, it might be useful maybe to have a separate heading as well after your relevant work history with the title Other Relevant Projects. So just bear that in mind. And then again, also think about highlighting your technical skills as well. Predominantly more multimedia students, so you'll have Photoshop, HTML and so on. So do a section around that also. But like I said earlier, also for the computing students, make sure you have experiences of these skills because you could be asked about them in interview. And then more specifically for the journalism students, consider maybe creating a section on your journalistic achievements and include details of maybe any articles you've published or any key achievements within this area.
Yeah. The platform that you mentioned,
yes,
there,
Behance.
Yeah, no, is that a platform that can be used for like journalism students?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so it's a kind of, you create that portfolio site the way you carve it out for yourself.
Exactly, right, yeah. It's just one example. An alumnus actually mentioned it to me, but I'm aware students are familiar with a lot of other ones.
Chipping.me, I don't know where that's going.
Yeah,
but of course that could have migrated into something else.
Exactly, yeah. It's just to get you started. You may find a platform that's more suitable to maybe your degree discipline, but you can have a look at Behance and then you can take it from there.
Yeah. So the really is this evidence-based approach.
Yes.
You know, whether it's with teaching placements or say with communications or science or no matter what discipline is, IR, the constant thing is this, you know, pulling together the evidence in order for an employer to make an informed decision is really the bottom line.
Exactly.
Don't presume, I have a degree, one line, and you know, you should know what I'm able to do.
Yeah. I think students need to bear in mind your CV is your ticket to try and get that interview. Mm-hmm. So you need to get as much concise information on there as possible. And like we said earlier, make the most of those two pages.
Brilliant. And as always, DCU students, those of you who are listening to us are DCU students, don't forget to check out the Quick Query Clinic. We have a number of them around various parts of the two campuses. So don't look up DCU Careers Events. Now we're just going on to just a related item because we mentioned kind of portfolio sites and everything, but I suppose that one of the most important professional networking sites we have that still seems to be going strong is LinkedIn. So Elaine, I might start off with yourself. Why have a LinkedIn site?
I think LinkedIn is really useful. I suppose LinkedIn forms part of your professional brand. It can be a way of maybe populating the profile with maybe different content, or I suppose designing the profile in a different way to how you would lay out your CV. So for example, where we say on your CV that it's the norm to not include a photo, we would want to ensure that we include a photo on our LinkedIn profile.
And not one from a night out.
No, it has to be a professional looking photo, because again, it's forming part of your professional brand. So this is the image or the first impression that you're giving to an employer or recruiter. So if you have your LinkedIn URL on your CV, you're basically signposting a recruiter to it. So you want to make sure that it's going to represent you in a positive way. And a professional looking photo is a key way of doing that. But there's, you know, lots of benefits to using LinkedIn. It's, you know, a good way like that of kind of, you know, I suppose presenting yourself, but also there's a job search function. There's a jobs board on LinkedIn. You can search career paths. You can use it as a research tool, I suppose, in your career planning. You can look at where alumni from your course or from your discipline have gone previously using the alumni function on DCU LinkedIn webpage. And I suppose as well, the good thing about LinkedIn is that it can be something where you can job search, but it can also be working away for you in the background. So if you have your profile well populated with information and keywords in terms of the skills that you have, recruiters are actively looking for people on LinkedIn. They're recruiting through LinkedIn every day. So like that, you might not be applying for jobs directly through LinkedIn, but recruiters could be looking at your profile. They could be searching for people with your degree background or with your skill set and reach out to you through LinkedIn.
Okay, so Vanita, so maybe a few tips.
Just going on from what Elaine said, in terms of recruiters looking for you, so you want to have a really good profile for your LinkedIn, and if you have a good profile, chances are you'll pop up in those searches when recruiters are looking for you. So these top tips will help you to have that better profile. So obviously, like we said earlier, make sure your profile picture is professional and it's just you. And it's clear, maybe just a black or a white background at the back of your photo. Personalize your heading. So, for example, you could be a master's in computing student seeking opportunities within data analytics. Highlight which area you are interested in going into. Think about personalizing your URL with your name. And again, you can put this then on the top of your CV as well. Make the most of the about section. So it's like a summary section. Think of your elevator pitch. What skills, experiences do you have that make you suited for this industry? And bring that out in this summary section. There's a skills and endorsement section on LinkedIn. Make the most of this. Highlight those key skills you have, both your technical and your soft skills, if relevant to you guys who are doing technical degrees, but definitely hone in on those soft skills as well. And get endorsements from maybe people you've worked with in the past. You can also display your work on LinkedIn. Use the portfolio, PDFs, videos. If you are writing a blog or if you have YouTube videos, definitely upload them onto LinkedIn so that they're out there in that open space and connections can see them. The other key tips for LinkedIn is you can join groups and in different events and things like that on LinkedIn, but there's no point joining groups if you're not going to be active on groups. And I have seen students in the past who've been active in groups and got different work experience opportunities out of that. So make the most of that. You need to stay active on it to be on people's radars. As Elaine said earlier, you can use it also to follow professionals whose career interests you and to follow what their career path was. And then the final thing is, if you are going to events or careers fairs or networking type events, make sure you use LinkedIn to consolidate those real life interactions. So if you meet a recruiter at a careers fair and you build up that good rapport and relationship with them, what we'd advise is then you could ask them if it'd be okay to connect with them on LinkedIn afterwards. And just following on from that, in terms of connecting with individuals on LinkedIn, just be very careful around that. Be very professional in your approach to connecting with individuals on LinkedIn. Remind them of how you know them and why you're interested in connecting with them. Be very polite and professional and be careful with your spelling and grammar. If you haven't met them, what we would say is just proceed with caution, because what they'll want to know is, why do you want to connect with them? And if you haven't met them, they'll need to figure out, what is the reason for you connecting with them and is it going to be beneficial to them? So you need to be familiar with this and you need to be professional. If you're not sure how to approach that, you can always come to the Quick Query Clinics and we can guide you with that.
So I think the one thing we always have to remember at LinkedIn, it's a professional networking site.
Exactly, yeah.
There is a spin-off that it is used, has a job support function, as you both said, but obviously it can be used to search. But ultimately, you should be presenting your bio as a professional networking, not give me a job.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Bio. That's not appropriate use of LinkedIn. And actually, it's very off-putting and it's actually just pointless, you know?
Yeah.
So around the bio, we've often reviewed LinkedIn, you know, obviously on the campus. And it's one thing that we'd always say, that a lot of people are very good to put the, you know, the typical CV type information in, you know, what roles you've had and what degree you have or in the process of doing. But that bio piece, everyone's, oh, you know, everyone gets a bit antsy and a bit nervous when we say, oh, let me show me your bio. And then, you know, you realize, well, you know, they just don't really have the confidence to put one together. So it's just really important that a way of thinking about doing your bio, at least to get you started and get a few post-its going around it, is that if you are at a seminar or a conference or an event, as Vanita said, and there's a tea break and you get chatting to somebody and you start talking all about that, you know, that you are a biotechnology student and you're telling this person all about what you love about biotechnology and where you see yourself going in the future, you know, what you're very passionate about, and you say that to the person, that's the sort of thing you want in the bio.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Not, I have this and I have that, and you know, it's you know, you need to kind of, it's like, it's a written introduction to the world.
Yeah. It's a professional network. It's different from your other social networks. So you need to be aware of that. Use it in a professional capacity.
Now, LinkedIn has kind of moved on in recent years and more companies are using the job support function. And with that, then there's also the option to apply for roles directly via LinkedIn. Elaine, maybe talk us a little bit through that.
Yeah, I'd be a bit cautious about applying for jobs directly through LinkedIn. I would always suggest to people to see if there's any other way that you can apply for the job. Maybe, like, it would be a good practice anyway to go onto the employer or the company website and see if the job is advertised there, because there might be more information up on the website. You'll be able to do more research through the website anyway to find out more about the company or the type of work that they do. So it might be useful to go on to their vacancy page or their careers section on the website and see if you can apply through that. Sometimes employers will post a job on LinkedIn but redirect you to their website to apply anyway. But what I would be saying is, err on the side of caution. If you can apply with an application form or a CV and cover letter, maybe opt for that as opposed to applying with your profile. Because with the format and I suppose the layout of LinkedIn, you would really, really want to be making sure that you have everything on your LinkedIn profile and it's populated very well and laid out very well before you would be applying your profile. And I think we would stick with the standard of application form or CV and cover letter to apply for any jobs.
And it's a bit like online shopping. It's so easy to press that button.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just hold back.
Absolutely.
And think about it. A, do you actually want, really genuinely interested in this job? And if you are, you know, you wouldn't just hit that button. You'd go off and do a serious amount of research. If you felt your LinkedIn profile was, you know, a really good fit for it and was a good expression of you and you're very happy with it. But most people have to do a certain amount of tailoring.
Absolutely.
You know, to apply, you know, successfully.
Yeah, and you don't want other people to be applying with an application form or a CV and cover letter that they have tailored specifically for that job, and you're applying with a generic LinkedIn profile that isn't highlighting your specific interest and motivation for that opportunity.
Brilliant. Any other comments?
I was just thinking, just in terms of your LinkedIn, just be careful what you put up there as well, because it's in the public domain. Do not put any personal details on your LinkedIn profile. Do not attach your CV, because that is a lot of your personal details. This is an extension to your CV, so you do not need to put your CV anywhere on your LinkedIn profile. And be very careful, just don't be putting any personal details on your LinkedIn profile.
Protect your identity.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. We're in GDPR land at the moment as well, and just be very, very mindful of that whole minding. Like, you are putting yourself out there, but LinkedIn generally is very professional.
You
use it very professionally. But at the same time, if you're very new to this and you don't understand the, I suppose, the code of conduct around LinkedIn, have a look around at some people's LinkedIn profiles and get a sense, you know, of how they're presenting themselves, and absolutely get a review done in the BrickBerry Clinic. We love doing this.
Yeah, we love it.
And just one last thing that I want to add as well, just in terms of your networking on LinkedIn and connecting with people, don't forget the people in your class or the people that you're working
with.
The
class ahead of you as
Or the academics
that
as
you're
well.
Meeting during your time in DCU, absolutely, the academics, the lecturers that you have interactions with, connect with them, because it's a really good way of staying in contact, and they're going to be your network and maybe your support system when you're going out into your career. And LinkedIn is a really easy way then to check back in with people, or to maybe ask for, you know, advice, or to get information from them as you go through. So, you know, look at where you are at the moment and who you might be able to connect with. Easier way then of building up that network for you as you maybe progress out of DCU.
Yeah, and remember, once you're connected to DCU, you're connected for life through DCU alumni, so you have a huge resource there and a huge connection for life, you know. So you do a 3 or 4 year degree or a master's here, but then the payback is there for years afterwards as well. Listen, on that note, we might finish up on this. Anyone has anything else they'd like to throw in before we close up today?
No, I think that's, yeah.
Thanks very much.
Brilliant, thank you.
Bye. Thank you.